Wow. So tonight we are continuing with what we began on Friday, where we are sharing about Tammuz, and we were sharing about tears, kingdom tears. And we shared about how the enemy has made so many people not realize his tactics. Scripture tells us that we should not be unaware of the devil's schemes. In other versions, it says tactics. So Satan has tactics. These tactics are very dangerous, that if you do not realize his operations, you may not be knowing what you're doing. There are so many battles that so many believers are fighting, but those battles are not supposed to be fought. If you play the enemy's battle and win, you have not won. If you play the enemy's battle, you have not won, even if you may think you have won. You are just an exponent of the enemy's pathology. Let me explain. If the enemy starts a disease and you go to catch it and you think you have won, you haven't. That was not your battle. It was the enemy's battle that he started. He wanted you to fight. Even if you may think you have won, you have not won. Okay. Let me speak again. If my daughter, you, if somebody, if the enemy raises up another woman to fight with you or to hate you, and then you rise up to say, let me handle this issue, possibilities are that you may not use divine strategy to fight it. You may also be personal. You have already lost. That's why some of us, when the enemy is fighting us, we don't answer. You know why? Because this is where so many believers do not know the tactics of the devil. He brings you. He starts a fire so that you can come. And you actually think you have won it. You haven't won it. Was it your battle? It wasn't. It's like you live in this country and you're a president. And then the enemy provokes you in another country. He's not in your country. He provokes you in another country. Then you send your soldiers to go. 10 of your soldiers there have died in that country as they are fighting. And you have won. You have not won. 10 of your soldiers have died. Even if you say, I have won it, it was not your battle. During the fight, you lost your values. During the fight, you lost your morals, your behavior. During the fight, you lost who you are. And you were so you that you were fighting a battle that is not yours. So what does the enemy do? He starts up battles that are not your battles so that you can be fighting battles that are not yours. He diverts you so that you can become an exponent of his pathology. Now, are you understanding?
Yes.
So you become part and parcel of his war. Now, this is what happens with the tears. So the enemy will cause up a battle around you. And what happens is that instead of you confronting the battle, you begin to talk about it. You start magnifying it. You start magnifying the devil. You start talking about the Red Sea, not talking to it. God does not want you to speak about your Red Sea. He wants you to speak to your Red Sea. I'm trying to talk to somebody. If you're able to hear me, raise up a hand as I hear you, prophet. Say, every demonic plan and tactic is exposed. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. So we read the scripture. We saw different moments and times from the book of what? Ezekiel. Chapter 8, verse 14. The Bible says, so he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. Now, I told you this, that this is the temple, the church, where we are. And Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit to go and see what's happening in the church. And it says, to his surprise, to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. And I told you that Tammuz is a demonic entity that causes sorrow. It brings in pain. It's a spirit of shame. And they used to worship this in the name of Baal. And Tammuz was responsible that people should cry. And when they cry, they should go to Tammuz for comfort. And these were demonic tears, not godly. So for Tammuz to manifest, they would do something in the family. Either sacrifice a child for people to cry. And when they cry, they believe Tammuz will come out. It's the same sacrifice that happens even today, where some people, they say, they must slaughter something in the family. And then demons will come down. Say Tammuz. Now, so scripture says that Ezekiel was taken in the spirit into the temple, and he saw women weeping, crying. It's not all tears you have that are godly. Some tears are for Tammuz. Tammuz brings in false tears. There are people today who are crying. They think they are just crying over what they're passing through. In fact, it is what the devil is doing. Those are false tears going to a false spirit. And when Ezekiel saw this in the temple, he was dismayed. He was shocked because the people who are practicing it were people in the church. And they did not realize they were crying to a spirit. Am I speaking to you? And I said to you that Tammuz is a spirit that brings in sorrow, heaviness. The very same things that you have gone through already. When you are attacked by Tammuz, that day you wake up in the morning feeling that you should cry. And you begin to think about it so deeply. And your energy goes to something that you're supposed to confront. And I'm telling you this, there are so many oceans, so many Red Seas that are supposed to part for you, that are supposed to make a way for you. But guess what? You are talking about them and not to them. God wants you to speak to them, to open up, and not about them. God doesn't want you to glorify them like they were doing in Exodus chapter 14 when they were all talking about, see now, how will we pass? There is a great sea ahead of us. Look what this, and this is what is happening with so many people. They are talking about how great their problem is. They are talking about how painful their situation is instead of speaking to it. Say, Tammuz, I rebuke you. So Tammuz is
a spirit. And I want you to understand this. So there are so many people today, right this moment, as I'm talking, as I'm teaching, they've got situations that they don't even know what to do. All they are doing right now is to worry about their situations. But God says, speak to them. Those are strategies of the enemy for you to weep, to cry on what you're not supposed to. Hear this. Tears, according to science, they contain salts and water. According to science, it goes even further that they also contain a chemical that reacts to emotions. But in the prophetic, in the spirit, they are more than that. They become a weight. Of a broken prayer. They carry something. They become prayers. We're going to see this as we talk. We spoke about the characteristics of demonic crying. How one can know that your crying isn't godly. Number one, we said, when you begin to cry, when you cry for what God didn't want you to cry for, He never wanted you to cry for. When we say crying, we do not mean only tears. We mean anything that gives you that sorrow, that deep thinking. Understand this. There are things right now that you're not supposed to cry for. If God didn't say, cry for this, don't cry for it. We're going to see this as we go. There are so many things people are worried about that God says, do not worry about. There are things people are crying for that God didn't say what? Cry for. We spoke about, number one, if you want to know whether yours are demonic tears, one, if you cry for things that God never wanted you to cry for, that are not godly tears. I gave you an example. A broken relationship or home or marriage. Much as it is something that you're supposed to feel bad about it and cry for it if you want your relationship back. However, crying over it is not what God wants you to do. If you want it back, God wants you to cry to God for restoration and not about it. God wants you to speak over it and not to cry about it. So there are people right now who are crying about their lost car that was repossessed. There are people right now who are crying about their repossessed house, about what they used to have. They lost this, they lost that, and the situation about their children, and they're crying about them, and it sounds so good, but it is not good. That is the tears of Tammuz. The enemy has created a scenario where you can worship him indirectly by crying on things you're not supposed to cry for. God does not want you to cry about it. God wants you to speak. God wants you to cry to God about it, not to cry about the situation. Am I speaking to somebody here? So understand this. So they cry, number one. This cry, you cry on things that God did not want you to cry for. And you begin to cry about them. You cry about your situation. You cry about your lost contract. You begin to talk about it. Think about, oh, God does not want, and that is not godly. And this is a problem. We have so many believers today who actually think their life is moving well, yet they've got a lot of things they are crying about, stressing about, and not speaking to. So tonight, we want to speak to a situation. Oh, yes. We're not going to talk about it. We are going to speak to a situation. Raise up your two hands forward. Say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak over my situation. Open up. I decree and declare to my miracle manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. You understand? That is a vocabulary of heaven. That is the language of heaven. So you must be very careful, because there are things you are crying about. There are things you are stressing about. God says, it is not me that is giving you that type of tears. It isn't God. It's demonic. That's what the Bible calls it, the terror by night and the arrow by the day. So you see these things will be coming to you during the day. All of a sudden, you've got this painful thing coming in your mind. And you're worried about it and you're stressing about it. It isn't the Lord. The Bible calls it that it shall not come near you. It says if you abide under the what? The shadow of Almighty. Am I communicating to you? Say in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke every false tear. Number two, how can you know that these are demonic tears? When you see weeping without repentance. Weeping without what? Weeping without repentance. So there are people right now who the only time they cry to God is when they're in trouble. But they have never really cried to God, feeling sorry for the mistakes they do. Like only the time you are in trouble, oh Lord, you even remind God of the promises. Even the promises he never made. You even combine and mistake the promises that you were given by your boyfriend and you think it was God who spoke. There are people right now who do not know that God wants you. The same passion that you go with to God when you're in trouble is the same passion you must have in your life when your spiritual life is not moving well. The same zeal, the same energy you put to say, Lord, I need this. It's the same zeal and passion. You must feel bad when you feel that you are far away from the Lord. You must cry to God when you mess up. You should say to God, Lord, here I am, Lord. You should have that. And if you do not have, now, let me just show these scriptures. We're going to read this verse, and I want us to read quickly. And in 2 Peter 2, verse 14, and we're going also to read 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10.
Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children.
And in 2 Corinthians 7:10,
for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation.
For what? Godly sorrow. So now you can see that there's a godly sorrow. Now, this one is what makes you. Can you imagine, like most people who cry, who panic, who stresses, they stress over the issues they're passing through. They do not have that sorrow for God. Can you imagine if you can have that sorrow? Instead of you crying about your situation, can you imagine you having that godly sorrow, crying over the situation in the name of Jesus, fearing that, God, I want my mom to be healed. I want my father to be delivered. I will not stop crying in front of you until you do it. And another one is crying about the mother. Another one is crying about their father. Oh, I don't understand why. Why are we passing through this? I don't know why. Why we are going, we have to go through. You are crying about it, and that's not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, the Bible says, it brings you before the altar. Am I talking to somebody here? It says godly sorrow brings you before the altar. It brings you before the Lord. The Bible says, for godly sorrow brings what? It leads unto repentance. See that? It says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. The word salvation in there is the word deliverance. You can check it from the Greek word. It's the word deliverance.
Salvation. Say in the mighty name of Jesus. Say it again. Say in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke every demonic sorrow. It says godly sorrow. Now understand the godly sorrow. It is a sorrow that comes from the Lord. So the Lord can give you the godly sorrow. You wake up in the morning and you have got this prophetic heaviness, uneasiness. And that's where people who are in the world or those who are in the flesh, they confuse that and they start stressing. That is not just a happening. It is prophetic alertness. And then Sam said, I think I'm depressed. I need to take some pills. Sometimes it's prophetic burden. And the burden God can give you about your family. Do not confuse it and start crying and start stressing about it. God may give you a burden. That's why the Bible says Nehemiah, he had godly sorrow. He woke up in the morning, he was serving the king, but his eyes had tears that were hidden. And the king said, I can see that you're having some sorrow. What is wrong with you, Nehemiah? He said, King, I am thinking about my people. I have a burden. What happened? That godly sorrow led him into leadership. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I communicating to somebody? There are people who do not understand it. Some of the burdens you are having about yourself or about your family, it's not just a thought. God is raising up this as a burden in you so you can have that godly sorrow and cry before his throne. But instead of crying before his throne, you are thinking about it and you are stressing about it. May God help you. You are so earthly. You are so carnal. No wonder your life can never change. Raise up a hand and say, so help me God. That's carnality. That's being worldly. That's being you. And God doesn't work in the parameters of you. God lives outside what he created. You have to find him in the space where he dwells. And that is not in the flesh. So as long as you are you, producing chemicals of emotions on your eyes and the tears of salt, and water, just because you're heartbroken and thinking about how great and big your situation and how things are moving not in your favor and crying about them, it will not produce a miracle. It will produce death and frustration. So you can know this is not godly sorrow. Number one, I've told you, when you see that you are crying for things you're not supposed to cry for, instead you're supposed to speak to. Things God didn't say you should cry for. He didn't say you should cry about that situation. If you're crying about the lost job, you are crying about what you went through, the pain that you have been through, or the rejection that you have faced, or because of what you have gone through. If you're crying over those things, or about those things, it's not God. God wants you to speak to those things if you want them back to be restored. Am I talking to you? I was talking to some Malawian, or one of the Malawians who have come from South Africa. He just came and committed suicide. And I was talking to another one, and he said, I'm feeling like I should kill myself. I said, why? He said, they took everything in South Africa of me, my shop. They took everything. I just came with these clothes. What I worked for many years, I lost everything. And I just came as I am. I said to the person, I said, do you understand I also came like you? I said, you left the shop. Can you imagine? You're talking about the shop. Do you understand you're talking about a private jet? Do you understand talking about emotion? I said, what? Forget about these earthly things. I left the whole big ministry. And you are crying. He said, I said, I left the hotels. I said, he's crying. I didn't cry about them. I spoke to God over them.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? And God has restored me 10 times better. Somebody say with me, say, I rebuke every demonic tear.
I rebuke every demonic tear.
Why are you stressing? I understand. You have nothing right now. I understand things are so hard and things are too difficult, but that's a trap. That is a trap. Anybody who cried along the way when they were coming from Egypt, the Bible says they never entered the Canaan. This journey is not for those who cry. Neither for those who stress. It is for those who consistently keep on speaking faith. Say,
I speak faith.
Stop talking about how. Do you understand? They were moving, surrounding a city, believing that the walls will collapse. Have you ever thought something like that? You sing. No one is pushing the walls, just singing. They say, we are believing. We are believing the walls of Jericho collapse. We are believing. We are believing. Do you understand? Do you understand? Does this make sense to you? The first time, they never fail. The second time, nothing happened. The third time, nothing happened. The fourth time. Do you understand for how many days? You should be very careful. Most of you are giving up when you're about to break through. And that's what the devil does. When he sees you are about to break through, your miracle is closer, he brings in sorrow. He brings in Tammuz. He brings in depression. He brings in questions. Say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Say again, say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Say, my testimony is about to happen. Number three, for you to know that the tears are not from the Lord, you see, tears or weeping that leads to despair or problems. In the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10,
for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death.
How does this spirit manifest? How this manifest? Crying until you give up. Weeping until you lose. You give up on the promises of God. How it manifests? Crying until it becomes depression. Crying until it becomes a sickness. Thinking too much until something happens. That is not godly. There are people who are thinking so much until they have messed up. Some didn't mess up, but some just gave up. So we have got somebody who's watching me now. They used to pray for something, cry for something, and now they stopped that prayer petition. Now they are praying for other things because they prayed over it and it didn't happen and they stopped it. Crying that leads to despair. Me, anything I was praying for 10 years ago, if it didn't happen, I'm still praying for it as if I've never prayed for it. It has to show up. If my assignment in this world would be to make sure that it comes out, I will keep on praying until I die. It will show up, I'm telling you. And everything I've prayed for, everything has already showed up. And I speak over your life in the name of Jesus. Do not give up. Whatever you are believing God for, it will show up in the name of Jesus. I said it will show up in the name of Jesus. I pray for your faith. I pray against giving up. So if you see that there are things that you cried for and you're like, you know what, I've prayed and it's too much. I've left it. That is not leaving it. That is the beginning of an attack. It means your focus now has stopped going to God over it. It is going to yourself. You begin to worry about it and think about it as you. If Jesus waited for 30 years to receive impartation for ministry, who are you? If Jesus, God himself, came on earth and walked, waiting for 30 years for the promise to be done, who do you think you are? That is what we call pride. Pride. God knows what he's doing. I want to tell you this today. God knows what he's doing. And I want to say this to you. It will manifest whether the devil likes it or not, whether people likes it or not. But that prayer point, it will come to pass. Be careful, because such type of tears, they lead you to despair instead of leading you to your deliverance. Number four, weeping that glorifies the enemy. I shared this in the beginning, but I'll say it again. This is when you begin to cry more of your problem. I've heard people who come to me and they say, "My father, you have no idea how I'm suffering, and it's just too much. My father, I am in pain. Oh, you have no idea. It's like the whole world is collapsing in front of me." The enemy will be like, "Yeah. I'm happy that you are facing the heat." You know, it's like you are making the enemy happy. Imagine, just have this picture, that you are having issues with someone, that you want bad things to happen to them. And imagine you seeing them posting on social media saying that they are suffering. You'd be happy. To say, "Yeah, yeah." And you always post in the spiritual world, in the realms of the spirit, on a demonic social media, Facebook, about your feelings. And the enemy is so happy, because that is why he is messing you up. He's messing you up so that you can glorify him. You know what? When everybody was talking about death, 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 what happened? Jesus Christ came and removed death. And he said, "Whosoever even dies, yet they live." And Paul said, "What? Death, where is your power? Where is your sting?" He says, "The power of death has been defeated." Am I talking to you? So if you glorify it, the enemy says, "I wanted that." He wants you to talk about your sickness. He wants you to talk about how suffering, how you are going through. Like, we are so much, our life is a mess. We are suffering. And this is what the devil wants you to speak about. If your weeping is in that way, trust you me, even if after you talk like that and you go in your room and you begin to pray, already it's blocked. It's already blocked. Because in the spirit, there is always a continuation. Am I talking to you? I told you this, right? Do you know when somebody is casting a spell? You know what it means, right? When they say they're casting a spell in witchcraft or wherever, when they're casting a spell, you know what it means? It means to do what? To speak words that they want to happen, isn't it? That's what I told you before. I said every word you speak, that's why in English you learn about spelling. It's not just spelling. It's to spell. Right? So if you spell, any word you speak, you are spelling. Any word you speak becomes a legality in the spirit realm. So you can't speak here, glorify the problem, how big it is, how it has affected you, how your life is a mess, and then tomorrow, "Father, Lord,
There is nobody like you. Like, you spoke about how big this problem is, how great it is, and now you are saying how God great is. Stop glorifying your problems. Those tears are demonic. It's for Tammuz. A spirit that wants you to glorify it. And that's why Ezekiel, when he saw it, scripture tells us that he was dismayed. When he saw people crying, sending their tears wrongly, he was dismayed. Why? There are people right now who are glorifying their situation. They are glorifying how big is their problem instead of speaking how great our God is. Your problem is not big. I challenge it. I said, I challenge your problem. I challenge your situation. It is not greater than my God. My God is bigger than your situation. Somebody say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Those are not godly tears. So we have believers right now who are crying. They are crying right now. Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, this is too much for me. And God won't move. They kept on crying, and the sea never parted. They were glorifying the Egyptians. Moses, are you seeing how soldiers are coming to kill us? And God never stopped them. They were still coming. Moses, are you seeing the sea ahead of us? The more they spoke about their situation, the more no solution happened. The more you will talk about your problem, the more there will be no solution, because you are glorifying the enemy. Until God said, what is in your hand? And he said, I have got a rod. And God said, well, you know what to do with it. Just raise up your hand and speak to the sea. When Moses raised up a hand, the whole sea opened. Speak to your ocean. Speak to your storm. The disciples of Jesus began to tell Jesus about the storm, how heavy it was. They began to talk about it. And Jesus stood and spoke to it. They spoke about it. He spoke to it. Speak to your storm. Stop talking about it. No matter how long it may take, keep on speaking. In the prophetic, consistency is an economy. So I speak to every storm. Be still. Declare again, prophetically, I speak to every storm. Be still. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Number five, you are here. Weeping or crying that rejects God's comfort. In Matthew 5 verse 4, I have seen this spirit manifesting to so many people. Blessed are those who what?
Who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Do you understand the scripture? It says, it is not saying that you will not going to have sorrow. It isn't just saying that you want to have a moment of thinking. It says, but the moment that thing begin to happen to you, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, shall comfort you. Do you understand that? So the moment that something is happening to you, the Comforter will come. But if you are rejecting the comfort of the Lord, something is wrong. I have seen people that I'm talking to over the phone or physically, and I'm saying to them that do not worry this situation, and they're still talking like, no, it has been too much. Like, literally rejecting what? Comfort. Rejecting comfort. If God is comforting you, if God is saying to be fine, receive it. Do not reject it. Any rejection, it is rebellion and it's demonic. And trust me, there's a spirit behind it. And if you're arguing what I'm teaching right now, that there is a demon in you, if this happened, if you're arguing, come and meet me on the prayer line. If I touch your head, let's see if nothing will talk. You didn't hear me. If you think I'm just talking like, no, I don't think me I've got. If you think, listen, if you're rejecting the comfort of the Lord in this season, come on the prayer line and I should touch your head. Let's see if there will be nothing that will talk. Something will talk. Hey!
I will destroy you. Me. How did it even come to me now? It's demonic. I remember talking to one of my sons, and I said to him, you, there's a demonic attack in your life. He said, me? I said, yes. He's like, how, Papa? You know why? Because he speaks in tongues. And because the other week I was praying for him to receive the anointing. And because of that, he thought there's no any demonic attack. I said, out. He manifested like you've never seen it. As if manifesting is getting out of fashion. I'm telling you, a demon manifested. Do you understand that Jesus spoke to Peter? That you are Peter. He said, you are a rock. He said, on you, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. A few moments later, Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. How did the demon enter? Your deliverance is temporary. If the enemy still has access to you. And this is the only access giving you what? Fear, depression, crying, feeling slow, feeling useless, feeling not important, not worthy, feeling like, then the devil begins to show you to say, you see, look, you've achieved nothing. And then he begins to show you how nothing and nobody you are. Can you imagine that it is the same situation that the devil entered Sarah and began to speak to Abraham to say, you know, Abraham, we have no children. Maybe just sleep with our maid and we should have a baby. Do you understand? When the maid had a child, the same woman said, why did you do it? Chase away. Women. Do you understand that? You know why? Because I was like, we have nothing. We have no child. But you have a promise. God says, I will do it through you. Why are you now giving up? Why are you now doubting? When three men entered the house of Abraham, his wife was cooking in the kitchen. Do you understand? And these three men, they looked like men, but the Bible says it was God who appeared like men. There are so many moments, sir, when God appears like a man on the pulpit. God may be speaking to you and you may not even realize it. God may appear through a beggar, through a stranger. He may appear through a preacher. He may appear through a prophet. You must be very attentive in the spirit. This message could be your message and you may not even pick it. These men entered the house and Sarah was cooking, not knowing he's cooking for God. She prepared some meat, not knowing the meat she was preparing. She was preparing for God. And the husband picked something. He said, these men are not normal. And when they said, Abraham, the Bible says that he responded. He said, yes, Lord, speak to me. Am I talking to somebody? He said what? Yes, Lord, speak to me. You see the difference? That's the difference of perceiving God. When God speaks a promise, never doubt it. Never argue with it. If your tears will not give you, if you begin to rebuke, to despise comfort, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Because right now the Lord is trying to comfort you. And like, I know, I don't know. It's like you just don't want to be comforted. And the danger part now is that your tears becomes a curse. and they block God's healing and they prolong your pain. I remember there was a certain time where I was praying to God. And I was crying to God for something. And it was a very same period that I had so many people who were coming to me. And I think I shared this testimony before. What happened to me in 2009. I was praying for people. And yet I had a pain, a sharp pain. Just a sharp pain on my heart. And people come to me and say, pray for me. I've got this on my heart. After praying, like, I'm healed. I'm like, God, what is going on? Me, I'm praying for these people. And they're getting healed and I'm not healed. It was a sharp pain. And the doctor told me, he said, there's a small problem near your heart. There's a small problem. I said, oh, really? I went into prayer. The more I prayed, the more the pain continued. In 2009, I'll never forget it. I prayed, and the more I prayed, the more the pain. So one time, I was praying about it. I was praying about it. Not crying, not thinking, not depressing, but speaking to it. Then I told myself, I will not pray over this situation again. I am healed. 3 weeks later, I woke up. I even forgot that I had the pain. I think it even took me a month or so when I was like, didn't I have a problem with a pain somewhere in my heart? I said, when did it stop? I was trying to remember, like, did I feel it yesterday? I'm like, no. Last week, did I feel it? I'm like, how did it stop? I went back to the same hospital. The doctor said, who told you have this problem? I said, you said it. He said, no, there's no problem like this. Come again for another test. All the tests that I did, he said, there's no problem like that. And through today. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The enemy wanted me to be talking about it instead of talking to it. Refuse. Sir, refuse. I'm telling you, what I'm saying, this is very serious. The enemy wants to speak about your circumstance. Speak to it. Hear this. Not all tears are the same. Some are godly, sacred rivers that flow from the throne. And some are a poisonous arrow that flies by the day or by the night, shot by the enemy to harm you. The day I learned the power of tears, my life changed. Amen. Stop worrying about your moments. Tears, the word tears, comes from a Hebrew word, dima. Dima. It is important to understand that it's not all tears that are godly. In Psalm 56, verse 8.
You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?
I want you to hear this. Did you understand that scripture? God, listen to me. Every tear you are shedding, God puts them in his book. I want you to understand this because some of you don't even know. When we speak tears, we are not talking about, as I said, the word tears means what? Dima in Hebrew. It does not mean only those that flow from your tears. It actually means deep sadness or brokenness. You don't have to shed tears for you to say you are tearing. It's your brokenness. Now the Bible says, go back in the scripture, give me New Living Translation. It says what?
You keep track of all my sorrows.
Wait a minute. So can you imagine that God is tracking whether your sorrows are godly or not godly? God is counting them. And you might not be knowing this, but God is keeping track of your sorrows. Continue reading.
You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book.
This is dangerous. So if you are using godly sorrow, can you imagine if you are crying in the Lord? God is, all those tears, he has them. He corrects. If you cry before the Lord says, I have your tears. I know you cried for me 4 years ago. I know you cried for me 6 years ago. I know he has all your tears. And he numbers them. So God corrects your tears. He treasures them. But the devil uses your tears as a weapon against you. So which tears, which sorrow, which brokenness are you operating on? For you to know that your tears are godly, these are things you begin to see. One, in Hebrew, it is known as Dima Shalom, or tears of surrender. Say tears of surrender. These are tears. When these are the tears you're supposed to be shedding. Not when they have fired you, you have no money, or your children are messing up, and you are crying. No, you should surrender before the Lord after being fired. After your life moving in an opposite direction, surrender. These, we're going to check in the scripture. In the book of Luke 22, verse 44, what happened with Jesus?
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Do you understand? The time when Jesus, his own disciple. Are you understanding this? Is about to betray him. He is about to go to the cross and be crucified and die. Instead of crying about it, he surrendered. These were tears of surrender. Surrendering himself to the Lord. And that is what God wants you to do. Surrender yourself before him. Lord, this sickness, I surrender myself to you. You are the healer. You are a God who heals. I surrender my situation. I surrender my children. I surrender my finances. I surrender my moments. God wants you to surrender. Tears of surrender. These tears, the birth miracles. When Jesus surrendered himself, you know what happened? When he went on the cross, what did he say again? Lord, in your hands, I commit my spirit. You know, people who surrender themselves to the Lord, tears of surrender, trust you me, God bottles them and counts them. And Jesus resurrected. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is sitting at the right hand side of the Father. Number two, Dima Pada. Remember the word Dima means tears. Dima Pada. Number two, these are tears of broken spirit. In Psalm 51 verse 17,
the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise.
Did you hear that word, broken spirit? It says it's a sacrifice. Do you understand that you can sacrifice a broken spirit? Sometimes people just fast. In your fast, add broken spirit, you see. Broken spirit is when you have got, you know how great your God is, and your spirit is so pregnant that it becomes so, you know, because you know how great God is, you cry before the Lord. You have got this heaviness. You know how he is able to do it. The Bible says that is a sacrifice before the Lord. It's called a pada, brokenness. Dima pada, tears of brokenness. Not feeling sad about it, but knowing how great your God is. The Bible says these God does not despise. He does not stay quiet. He shows up. Do you want to cry about it or you want God to show up? Then if you want God to show up, dima pada. Tears of brokenness. Say tears of brokenness. Say it again, tears of brokenness.
Tears of brokenness.
In Acts 16, from verse 25 to 34, Paul and Silas, when they were in the prison, they did not cry about their prison. They began to sing. They began to worship until the prison cells could not keep them any longer. Be broken. They began to talk how great God is. They took the problem. They looked at the prison cells and began to see how great God is. And they began to sing about it. When they made a ruling here in Malawi to say, you're going back to South Africa. That day, I came on this altar with my wife and we began dancing. That was not just a happening. It wasn't just a happening. It's brokenness. There is a problem here, but we are seeing how great God is. And we are so broken to his greatness until everything was reversed. Number three, Dima Zara, T-Z-A, T-Z-A-R-A-H, Dima Zara. These ones are tears of affliction. And I should give you a warning. These ones are very dangerous. Are not good for you. In Exodus 14, verse 11 to 12, because, and these are the people of Israel saying,
then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?
All right, so that is what I want to speak. Those ones are not from God. I've deliberately mentioned these ones here. These are afflictions. Afflictions are those tears that makes a person have even crazy thoughts. Maybe this is happening because I didn't do this. Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Questions without answers, and those questions can lead you out of God's presence. They began to say, did you take us out of Egypt because you wanted us to die here? Maybe the graves were not enough. Be careful. These are tears of affliction. That's number what? Good. I have put this deliberately here. I've taken it from somewhere. The teaching is too long. Now let's go to number four. Are you still here?
Yes.
Dima Kavod. Tears of holy anguish. Tears of holy anguish or prophetic tears. Dima Kavod. In Jeremiah 9 verse 1.
Whoo.
The Bible says what?
Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people.
These are not just tears. These are tears, prophetic tears. We see in the scripture, the Bible saying that Jeremiah went into prayer. praying, and he developed tears and said, "These tears were carrying revival for the slain daughters to resurrect. These are tears that brings back what had died in your life. Cry before the Lord. Stop all this nonsense talking about, just, no. Have this. Stop worrying. Stop fearing. Stop stressing. God has your back.
Amen.
Number five. Dima Geura. G-E-U-L-A-H. G-E-U-L-A-H. Or in English, tears of breakthrough. This is the part that I wanted to talk now. That you are standing. Say tears of breakthrough. In 2 Kings 20, verse 5.
Retain and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you.
My God.
On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord.
Are you understanding? I have what? I have seen. Surely I will heal you. Dima Geura. Or Geura. Tears of breakthrough. Hezekiah, when he was about to die, in fact, he was dying on that day. But he cried to the Lord, not about it. The Bible says he cried to the Lord. And what happened? God said, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. There is somebody, God says, surely I will heal you. There is somebody, God says, surely I will deliver you. There is somebody, God is saying, surely I will touch your family members. Somebody, God is saying, I will open up your life. Somebody shout, Geura. Tears of breakthrough. This is what we're talking about. God says, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears, surely. And these are the same tears which God told Moses, I have heard their prayers in Egypt and I have seen their tears, their cry, and I have come down to deliver them. God loves his tears that are godly. He will come and deliver your family. He said, I have seen the tears. I have come down to what? To deliver. And he said, I've seen the tears of Jeremiah, and surely I will heal him. God says, I have seen your tears, and he will do what? He will touch you. So God, he counts your tears. He puts all your tears. He numbers your tears. Your tears are not in vain. The enemy is coming and is saying to you, you've been praying, give up. That is a spirit of Tammuz. The devil wants your tears to be directed to a wrong way, to a false worship. But God says he sees your tears. He knows what you're facing. So what I want you to do is simple. I want you to discern, are your tears godly or are your tears demonic? Is your conviction, is your brokenness, your worry, godly or demonic? Now, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, it gives us an answer. Can you read it?
For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death.
In Psalm 30, verse 5.
For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah.
Somebody say, joy is coming.
Joy is coming.
Dry up your tears, daughter. Dry up your tears, son. Joy is about to show up. In this month of July, the Lord will make you laugh. in Revelation 21 verse 4, what is the Bible saying?
And God will wipe away every tear from
and
their
God
eyes.
God will
wipe
away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying.
There shall be no more pain.
There shall be no more pain.
For the former things,
for the former things have passed away. Raise up a right hand and say, in the name of Jesus,
in my life,
there will be no more pain.
No more sorrow.
No more crying.
No more suffering.
I receive the joy of the Lord.
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 In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In John 16, verse 20. Most assuredly, I said to you that you would weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. God told him, he said he wants to change your tears into tears of joy. He wants to change your crying in the month of July. The Lord wants to change your story. Raise up your two hands in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive this prophetic message. I receive this prophetic word.
I receive this prophetic
word. In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In Isaiah 35 verse 10.
And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness.
I love that.
And the sorrow.
They shall obtain. Meaning to say joy can be obtained. Mm. They shall obtain joy and gladness. And what? And the sorrow.
Sighing shall
and
flee
the
away.
Sighing shall flee away. Every spirit of depression. Mm. Every spirit of sorrow in your family.
Oh, yes.
Every spirit of pain,
yes.
Every spirit of shame,
yes.
Will flee away in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have suffered enough is enough. You have gone through a lot, but today the Lord is removing your pain. The Lord is bringing in the spirit of joy in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 25 verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God
wipe away tears from all faces.
He will wipe away tears, not from some faces.
From all faces.
From all faces. The rebuke of his people, he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. There are people who rebuke God's people. You start this, they are rebuking you. God says he will remove away the rebuke of his people. And he will remove your shame. He will wipe away the tears. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive my breakthrough.
I receive my
miracle.
I receive my
testimony.
I receive my testimony.
Psalm 30 verse 11.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing.
You are not reading it properly. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. I want somebody to say, I'm going to dance.
I'm going to dance.
Can you imagine God changing your mourning, your crying into dancing? This is why God is shocked when you are crying for nonsense. God can change your situation into dancing. That thing that you're worried about, God can change your situation into what?
Dance.
Into dancing. You will celebrate, son. You will celebrate. Stop worrying. Stop stressing. Money is coming. I say that door is opening. Healing is coming. Deliverance is coming. There is a lifting up. Stop worrying. The Bible says it can change your mourning, your crying into dancing. You see, most of you are crying for us, praying for us, weeping for us, praying for us. You even forgot those prayer points now because God answered. Now when you see us, you just dance. God changed your morning into what?
Dancing.
Into dancing. I thought the choir would put something people to dance a little bit. They are too slow.
Turn my moral into dance.
Somebody shout, I will dance.
I will dance.
Now let's go another verse. Are you still here?
Yes.
Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6.
Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy.
My God.
He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
The Bible says, you will come back with a breakthrough. That's what the Bible is saying. It says, you sow in tears, but you shall come back with a what? With a harvest, and you shall what?
Dance.
You shall come dancing. You will come to Malawi dancing.